Usually when we talk about waste on this show, we're talking about efficiency, wasted time, wasted effort, that sort of thing. But today, I want to get literal. I want to talk
Oh,
about
boy.
the physical stuff, the garbage.
The stuff you pay good money just to make disappear.
Exactly. And if you're running a business, say a huge dairy farm, a food processing plant, an industrial factory, that waste is usually it's a pure liability on your balance sheet.
It's a cost center, full stop.
Right. You pay to haul it, you pay to stick it in a landfill, or you deal with this massive regulatory headache trying to, burn it.
And that's always been the view, right? Waste is a problem you manage usually by just getting it as far away from your property as you can.
Right. But I've been digging through this stack of documents on a company called EarthCare Gasification Systems. They're out of Beavertown, Pennsylvania. And the people running it, Renewable Energy Consultants and Bob Rice, they're pitching something that, well, frankly, it sounds almost too good to be true.
It is a pretty bold pitch, I'll give him that.
They're not just talking about, better recycling. They call it advanced thermal conversion. The claim is you can take that liability, that trash pile, and flip it into two distinct revenue-generating assets.
Energy and a material they call EcoJar.
And I think it's important to say right up front, this isn't just a shiny marketing brochure we're looking at. This is technology that's actively navigating some really strict environmental regulations.
Which tells you it's not just vaporware. This is a serious industrial application.
So that's our mission for this deep dive. We need to strip away the marketing and look at the actual physics, the economics. Is this a real resource recovery solution, or is it just a very fancy, very expensive way to build a bonfire?
Well, that's the first hurdle, isn't it? The whole gasification versus incineration thing.
Yeah, let's start there. The documents are so adamant about this. They say this is not incineration. They practically underline it. But I have to play devil's advocate. To an average person, you're putting trash in a hot box and it disappears. How is that not burning?
It's a fair question, but chemically, they're two completely different worlds. It all comes down to one thing.
What's that?
Oxygen.
Oxygen.
Yeah. Think about a campfire. That's open combustion. You have an unlimited supply of oxygen from the air all around you. So when you light the fuel, it burns fast, it flames up, makes ash, releases CO2, and smoke right away. It's chaotic, uncontrolled.
Right, it's messy.
Gasification operates in an oxygen-starved environment. That is the key phrase from all the technical specs. You're heating the material, the feedstock, to these incredibly high temperatures, but you're not letting it actually flame up. You're essentially baking it.
So it's more like a kiln than a furnace.
That's a great analogy,
No.
exactly. But because the material can't find enough oxygen to properly burn, it thermally decomposes. It just breaks apart chemically. So instead of turning into smoke, the solid stuff releases a gas.
So instead of burning the wood or the trash, we're kind of forcing it to give up its ghost, which just happens to be a flammable gas.
That's one way to put it, yeah. And this gets us to the feedstock. I mean, the list of what you can put in this thing is surprisingly broad. The source mentions agricultural waste, industrial byproducts.
Organic sludge.
Right. Basically, if it has carbon in it, it's fuel.
And this is why the oxygen-starved part is so important for the environment.
It's everything because you're not just burning it in an open pit. You're not releasing all those particulates and uncontrolled toxins into the air. You're trapping the energy in a gas form first.
Okay, I want to visualize this. Let's get under the hood. We've got this EarthCare system. I'm standing in front of it. What am I looking at? Is it just a big chute you dump stuff into?
No, and this is where the engineering gets really interesting. The whole system is designed for consistency. That's a word you see a lot in the docs. It all starts with material handling, specifically these heavy-duty augers.
Giant screws.
Essentially, yeah. But they're not just for dumping trash in. These augers convey the feedstock at a very precise, controlled rate. You see, in gasification, you can't have a sudden clump of wet material, then a pocket of dry stuff. You need a steady, dense flow to keep the reaction stable.
So the augers are like a metering system. They push the waste into the main chamber. The chamber's hot, there's no oxygen. What's the chemical reaction at that moment?
That's when the solid material gasifies. It turns into what's called syngas, or synthetic gas. And the primary component of that gas is carbon monoxide, CO.
Okay, pause there. Because most people hear carbon monoxide and they immediately think of the detector in their house. We think of it as a poison, a defect.
And in your home, it is a danger. It displaces oxygen in your blood. But in thermodynamics, carbon monoxide is, it's essentially frustrated energy.
Frustrated energy.
Think about the molecule. It's a carbon atom holding on to just one oxygen atom. But what carbon really wants is two oxygen atoms to become stable carbon dioxide, CO2. That chemical desire to grab another oxygen atom, that's potential energy. That's your fuel.
So the machine turns dirty solid waste into a clean combustible gas made of these frustrated molecules.
Precisely. And that takes us to step two, controlled combustion. The system moves that syngas into a separate chamber, the oxidizer, and only then does it introduce a very precise amount of air.
So this is where the fire happens.
This is where the energy gets released. The CO ignites, it grabs that second oxygen atom, becomes CO2, and in the process releases a massive amount of heat.
The thermal conversion.
Exactly. And the EarthCare documents really highlight their advanced control systems here. This is not a manual process. The system uses variable control drives to speed up or slow down the augers. It adjusts fans to control the air mix. It's tuning itself in real time.
Which I'm guessing is how they meet those strict emission standards.
That's the only way. If the temperature drops, it feeds more fuel. If the oxygen mixes off, the fans adjust. It makes sure the burn is clean enough, which is something a simple incinerator just can't do. This refines the fuel before you burn it.
Okay, so we've turned a pile of manure or wood chips into a huge amount of heat energy. But heat is tough to transport. You can't put heat in a truck. So how does this actually help a facility manager?
And that's where the flexible power part comes in. The source material is very clear. This is not a one-trick pony. You can configure the output based on what your facility actually needs.
The list had heat, steam, electricity.
Yeah.
And the one that always gets me, chilling.
Yes, chilling.
I just have to ask again, because it seems to defy common sense. How do you get cold from a 2,000-degree reaction?
It's a process called absorption chilling. It's pure thermodynamics. You know how a propane fridge works in an RV?
Vaguely. You burn propane to keep things cold. It feels like magic.
Right. It uses a heat source to boil a refrigerant, usually an ammonia water mix, and that creates a pressure difference that drives a cooling cycle. This is the same physics, just on an industrial scale. You use the waste heat from the gasifier to drive the chiller.
That's wild. So if I'm a food processing plant, I could use the heat to cook, the steam to clean, or the chilling to freeze the product.
Okay. Or electricity to run the lights. And it can load follow. The documents note you can vary the output form. So in the winter, maybe you prioritize heating the building. In the summer, you switch over to chilling.
That versatility seems like it would be key. It maximizes the ROI, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not just generating waste heat that you vent out the roof.
Exactly. You're using your waste to power your facility's actual real-time needs. You replace a bill you're already paying with your own trash.
But we've only covered the gas side of this equation. At the start, you mentioned there were two assets created.
The EcoChar.
The EcoChar. Now, I've heard biochar being touted as a miracle product for years. EarthCare calls its version EcoChar. Is that just branding or is there a real difference?
It's largely the same class of material, but the EcoChar name here seems to emphasize the consistency and the safety profile that comes from their specific process. It's the solid residue left after the gas is gone, just mineral ash and fixed carbon.
And fixed carbon, that means it's stable, it doesn't rot.
It's chemically stable, it won't break down for hundreds, maybe thousands of years. And here's the really important part, especially for agriculture. Because the gasifier runs so hot, the source explicitly states it's pathogen-free and E. coli-free.
Okay, that is a big deal if your feedstock is agricultural waste.
Yeah.
You don't want to spread raw manure back on your food crops.
No, you don't. This stuff is sterile. And physically, it's super porous. Think of it like a microscopic coral reef for soil bacteria. It holds on to water and nutrients.
The source material mentions a website, naturalcharsolutions.com. For agricultural uses.
They do. They call them vital for soil additives. But the applications go way beyond farming. They list things like filtration media. Pure carbon is great for filtering water, animal bedding, even specialty industrial uses.
So let me get this straight. You're taking a massive volume of waste. You're shrinking it down to a small pile of sterile carbon.
Right.
And you sell that carbon as a product.
While using the energy released during the shrinking process to run your factory.
Okay. That brings us to the business case. Because saving the planet is great, but capital investments like this, they need a better reason than just it's the right thing to do. The CFO needs to sign off.
And EarthCare is very direct about this. They use the phrase monetizing waste.
Which I love. It's mercenary, but it's honest.
Well, it's about stacking revenue streams. So, layer one is cost avoidance. You have a ton of waste. You're paying tipping fees at a landfill. You're paying trucking costs. All of that just goes away.
That's immediate cash flow improvement.
Then you have the energy savings. You're buying less power or gas from the utility.
Layer two.
Then you have the actual sales of the EcoChar. That's a new product line you didn't have before.
Layer three. But there's a fourth one hidden in these notes that I think is the most clever part of this whole thing, the tipping fee arbitrage.
This is where it gets really interesting. This is the aha moment for a lot of
Walk
operators.
me through it.
Okay, so normally you pay a landfill a tipping fee to take your trash. But if you own an EarthCare system, you essentially have your own private utility. You can accept waste from your neighbors, other farms, other factories, and charge them a tipping fee.
Wait. So my neighbor brings his waste to me. I charge him, say, $50 a ton to take it, which is cheaper for him than the landfill.
Correct.
So he pays me to take the fuel that runs my generator.
Exactly. In a traditional power plant, you pay for coal, you pay for natural gas. Here, the fuel supplier pays you. It completely inverts the economics of power generation.
That's incredible. But I have to be the skeptic again. If it's this good, why isn't everyone doing it? Is it a nightmare to run? Do I need a team of chemical engineers on staff?
And that's a common fear with gasification. You don't want to turn a dairy farm into a chemical plant. But the source material addresses this directly. They say the system is designed for operational ease. It only requires two operators.
Two people for this whole thing.
Two people, and not PhDs. The system is highly automated. It monitors its own pressures, its own temperatures.
And they mentioned off-site monitoring, right?
Yes, and this is crucial. It means a central team can watch the performance data in real time. If a fan starts vibrating or a temperature spikes at 2 a.m., they know about it before it breaks. It de-risks the whole operation for the owner.
Okay, so it's manageable. Let's zoom out to the final piece, the environment. We've touched on it, but what's the actual impact? Why would regulators like this?
The three big pillars seem to be water, air, and carbon.
Let's start with water.
If you have organic waste manure, food scraps just sitting in a pile, it rains. That runoff carries nitrogen and phosphorus into local waterways. That causes algae
The
blooms.
dead zone effect.
Right, gasification stops that. The waste goes into the machine, not on the ground, and the nutrients get locked into that EcoChar structure, which holds them in the soil instead of letting them wash away.
And air.
Odor control. The documents mention this is a huge benefit for community relations. Rotting waste smells. Gasification thermally destroys the compounds that cause odor. If you're running a farm next to a subdivision, that's priceless.
I can imagine. Much better than a rotting compost pile.
Yay.
Okay, and finally, carbon. This seems like the heavy hitter.
It's a double reduction. First, you're obviously displacing fossil fuels. Every kilowatt you make is one you don't buy from a coal plant.
Sure, that makes sense.
But secondly, and this is the one people miss, you are avoiding methane.
Which is what comes off a landfill.
Yes. When organic stuff rots without air in a landfill or a manure pit, it produces methane. And methane is a greenhouse gas that's anywhere from 25 to 80 times more potent than CO2 at trapping heat.
Wow.
By gasifying the waste right away, you prevent that methane from ever even forming. You skip that stage entirely.
So even though the machine releases some CO2, it's vastly better than the methane that would have happened if you just let the waste sit there.
Orders of magnitude better. Plus, the carbon you trap in the EcoChar is sequestered. It goes into the ground and it stays there. The source even mentions potential carbon credit opportunities.
It really does seem like a complete closed loop. You take a problem waste and use it to solve three other problems: energy costs, soil health, and pollution.
The source text sums it up as a holistic solution, and I think that's the right word. It's not just a garbage disposal. It's an energy plant and a fertilizer factory all in one.
It really forces you to shift your whole mindset. We have to stop thinking about waste disposal and start thinking about resource recovery.
Absolutely. We always talk about a circular economy. Well, this is it in action. You're not burying the end of the line, you're feeding it right back into the beginning.
Just fascinating stuff. And it makes you think about the scale. We looked at this for a single facility, you know, one farm or one factory. But what if every town had one?
Decentralized waste management.
Exactly. Imagine if your town's trash powered the streetlights and fertilized the parks. The whole concept of garbage as this useless thing we have to pay to hide, it just vanishes.
It becomes another raw material.
It really makes me wonder what other things we're paying to get rid of right now that are actually hidden gold mines. just waiting for the right technology to come along and unlock
them. I'm wishing worth asking.
That's all for this deep dive into EarthCare gasification systems. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you on the next one.